Hello there, and welcome to Thank the Maker, a podcast about heroes, princesses, scoundrels, hokey religions, ancient weapons, and all things Star Wars. I'm your host, Adam Russell.
I am also your host, Ryan Key.
And I'm Nick. I'm back. I got spider legs. I was cut in half. Now I got spider legs.
Holding them together with the force.
Yeah. Next episode, you get the upgrade.
I only got the spider legs for you guys, so I could podcast.
Well, we appreciate it. And we're very glad you're alive and well.
Good to be back.
It's actually a great time for you to talk about becoming a Sith because this is our 66th episode.
Hey.
Wow.
66. Look at that.
Let's go kill some Jedis.
You know, let's murder some babies.
That's crazy that we've recorded 66 episodes of this freaking show.
It's dope.
It's amazing.
Feel good about it.
Being that I wasn't on last week, I really did miss it. Anytime I try to even talk any sort of Star Wars to Nicole, she's like, I don't care. And I'm not joking, though, that is a quote. I don't care. She doesn't feign interest. She says, I don't care. So not podcasting for a week is hard for me.
Hold on. She's not a fan? I thought she was a fan.
Yeah, but I don't think she wants to talk about it. She's working a lot these days, so she's okay. Dealing with events and brides and stuff like that that are not really being very nice to her. So she's not having a good time with work right now, so... When I'm like, yeah, there's new Clone Wars figures, she's like, I don't care.
Yo, how dope was it that we got to see Fennec Shand? F*** you.
Yeah. That's probably what's next.
All right, well, let's do it. Let's talk about it. Speaking of Fennec Shand, we're talking about The Bad Batch, Season 1, Episode 4, Cornered. What'd you guys think?
I thought this episode was certainly designed to move the story forward and has a cool bomb drop of Fennec Shand, as you said, but... Overall, I mean, we've talked about this in Mandalorian as well. And, you know, it's like, I think this was kind of an adventure of the week that doesn't have a whole lot of meat on the bones, but I didn't not enjoy it.
Same.
Yeah.
It was exciting and fun.
You know, and it didn't drag on too long. I was like, cool. Thanks for the episode. Like, mm-hmm. Fennec's there. So that's introduced. That, I think that's the main thing of this whole episode is we got a new character that we knew was coming, which is cool. So now we get to think about why is she here? I mean, besides obviously... searching for Omega, but who hired her and all that type of stuff. So it's cool. I liked seeing a city, you know, so many of the planets and Clone Wars and stuff besides Coruscant are just kind of more rural, I guess, and farmland type stuff. So it was cool to see a city.
Dope. Let's talk about the deets.
What have you done with those planets?
The Bad Batch Season 1, Episode 4, Cornered, debuted May 21st, 2021, this past Friday. Directed by Saul Ruiz, who directed a bunch of Clone Wars episodes, some Rebels, some Resistance. He's been around. Written by Christian Taylor, who also wrote on the Clone Wars a little bit. Great writing, I thought. Again, kind of a side quest, but I thought it was really well written. Starring, as we mentioned, Ming-Na Wen as Fennec Shand. It's dope that they brought her back for the voice. That only makes sense. We, of course, know Fennec Shand from The Mandalorian as a bounty hunter who's associated with Boba Fett. Two other little cameos. We have Taron Killam from SNL. He plays the depot manager on Pantora, a character named Godal.
I think it's a Godal is like the species Godal? That looks like a goat.
Yeah. And the land speeder driver. And then also from SNL, Bobby Moynihan, who has been on Resistance, plays Citizen Number 2 / Traitor. T-R-A-D-E-R, not a traitor with a T.
Yeah.
Not a traitor. There's like, what's the SNL connection? This is
know.
The third I mean, SNL?
Yeah, I think they're right? nerds. I mean, think back to a couple of years ago when Force Awakens came out, they did that whole hilarious like action figure commercial.
Yeah, yeah.
And I feel like all of these guys are in it.
Yeah.
Did it, SNL is where they did like the
Kylo Ren thing? Kylo.
Secret Bosses whatever, like with Kylo Ren? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Best.
Yeah, it's so good.
Disney Plus description of this is straight to the point.
Certainly.
The Bad Batch's supply run goes awry.
Full
yes,
stop.
It does.
I think someone was like, less words. Say less. Do less.
A six-word description.
Yeah. Too many. Too many words.
Yeah, same thing, but try six words. We already talked about some first impressions, but some notable things. No Crosshair in this episode.
Yeah.
He's off scheming somewhere.
he's bathing in the evil soup.
I didn't really notice that until I watched it a second time. I was like, oh, wait, okay, cool. Yeah. It wasn't that much just Empire stuff besides that like reoccurring Rampart speech, you know, about switching over your credits and stuff like that. So there wasn't too much Empire in this episode.
I thought it was a really, really good kind of like chase adventure vibe in this thing.
Yeah.
You know, you bring a bounty hunter in, that's what you get. But I thought the way it was executed, especially the speeder chase on Pandora, was straight up Lucas, Spielberg, Star Wars, Indiana Jones, classic. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I also noticed in that speeder chase, like, the whole concept of, like, smells and sounds being able to sort of, like, transport your mind while you're in the middle of something else, you know? And the sound of the speeder bikes just full on Endor.
Yeah.
Like, they were just, they had, like, the bikes had the same, like, whoop sound to them. Yep. And I was just, like, totally transported there.
Mixed with the Coruscant, a lot of the Foley from the Coruscant chase in Attack of the Clones. It's like a
very, very similar. My favorite inadvertent comedy, I don't know if anyone else laughed at this, but I straight up chuckled at 12:20 a.m. when I was watching this. During the chase, Fennec grabs Omega and tells her to tuck and roll just before she, like, throws her. Omega does not tuck and roll. She just eats it. I don't know. It was pretty funny to me.
That's great.
I mean, considering that Omega doesn't know what dirt is, she definitely has never heard the term tuck and roll. Yeah. So she's just like, okay, I'm going to land on my shoulder. It's pretty funny.
All right, quick overview. The crew is wanted by the Empire. They make a pit stop on a planet for supplies and to scramble the ship's signature key, which is apparently what allows their ship to be tracked. It's something tech can do, but they have to land for some reason. They run into, of course, bounty hunter Fennec Shan, who had been hired to capture Omega. We don't know who hired her yet. We can speculate. We should probably speculate about that in the after show for the patrons. Patreon.com/thinkthemakerpod if you want to watch that.
All the fun speculation.
Plot-wise, though, I mean, this is it. There are some notable things to mention and discuss. First of which is, so they're on Pandora, which we have seen quite a bit in the Clone Wars, actually. Mm-hmm. We know the Senator Ryo or Rio Chuchi. We don't know how to pronounce the first name, but she's the blue-skinned, I mean, the species, the Pantorns, they're blue-skinned, George Lucas's character in Revenge of the Sith, was that species, and his daughter, stepping on Den of Antiquities. But we see this senator, this young girl, quite a bit. She's the one that has the really thick Kiwi accent. I was hoping she and Omega would get to speak to each other and that would be tied. But point being, we've spent a lot of time on this planet, so we're here, and there's a bunch of citizens celebrating. They're all, everybody's partying because the war is over.
Mm-hmm. Still, they're just, I mean,
yeah,
it's been a long party.
They're still drunk. I mean, they wake up, they're in the same clothes, they go back to the bar,
and they're like Scandinavian or Japanese.
Yeah,
they can just drink all other people on the planet under the table for months on end.
They're sleeping in the 24-hour karaoke bar till the train starts up again in the morning.
It's definitely interesting seeing them cheer on the clones, because I guess to the citizens, they just changed their name, but they're still clones, you know, like they're still the good guys. They just rebranded, I guess. Is that a way to look at it in a citizen's point of view? Like, why else would they be cheering them on? Like, the war's over. Technically, the clones won, but now they're called the Empire.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like a, you know, a welcome home parade kind of vibe, you know, post World War II, kind of everybody sitting up on the back of the convertibles, kind of, you know, rah-rah USA thing.
Yeah.
Something I noticed in this, one dude I talk with at work quite a bit is like, man, we need a droid in this.
Yeah.
I didn't really notice until, I guess, last episode, they have that Gonk droid on the ship.
Yeah, the Gonk is doing some stuff now.
Yeah, Gonk's around.
It's kind of helping out.
But then we get like a whole crew of droids in this, two astromechs, and then one that's kind of new, looks like an astromech with like—
with legs?
Yeah, with like old school sci-fi arms and
it's
legs.
It's like a Gonk astromech hybrid.
Yeah.
There's one in Resistance, I forget its name, like Ellie or something like that. That's pretty similar, like kind of an astromech, but with like tube arms and legs.
Yeah.
Little chunky boy.
Yeah. It's definitely a stocky little dude waddling around.
As soon as they all showed up, I was like, oh, dude, please bring those droids. Please just bring them on the ship.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
But no such luck. But it was so dope to see Echo disguised as a droid, like his full different suit.
That costume was amazing.
Yes.
That helmet was so sick.
I can't wait to see somebody make that.
Yeah, I could.
What do you do with your arm to cosplay that?
Make it longer? Like,
I guess.
Luke's amputated hand, kind of old school movie vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Captain Hook in every historic Peter Pan film or play or anything. It's just extra long. Your hand's gone, but somehow it's longer.
The Echo stuff I thought was a little interesting in this. I mean, he's really only, I mean, who knows how many days I guess I would measure it in days. How many days this is after he's been rescued, right? So he's got to be dealing with, like, am I a droid? Am I a clone? Am I both? And I feel like in this episode, he was like, hey, guys, I'm a droid. I could do this now. You know, like, he disguised himself as a droid. But then, I don't know if you guys noticed, there is a moment when Omega is in that shop and she's playing with that toy clone trooper. There's just one extra second of a shot that Echo is, like, looking at it. He, like, touches its helmet.
And he kind of turns the head of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So definitely an intimate moment, close focus on his hand holding the doll.
Look at him in that moment. He's a droid. He's passing as a droid. So he's like, where's my humanity or my clone-ness is gone, you know? Like, he's kind of going back and forth. He doesn't fit in with the Bad Batch as far as, like, having that mutation, but he also felt like he wasn't a clone anymore, which is why he went with the Bad Batch in the first place. But I feel like, yeah, he had some moments in this where he was kind of not outwardly struggling, but I think you could pick up on some points of him being like, do I miss being a clone?
Well, I mean, we all know the famous line.
He's more machine now than man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Truly.
That's been a theme, and it would be cool if we get to see that kind of concept be actually played out instead of just told as lore.
Yeah.
To see a character go through the struggle of discovering that they're more machine than man.
Yeah.
And holding on to whatever humanity is left in there. It seems like that might be where they're going with his character, which would be so sick.
Mm-hmm.
Low-key, that whole scene, though, just kind of got me excited to go to Galaxy's Edge next week. Which
I know, right? I'm like, we need to start a hashtag or something. Some sort of, like, when are we going to Batuu in Star Wars? Besides us literally going, when are we going to Batuu?
Just that little shop. I know. Ooh, on Thursday, I'll be waiting in line to walk. Actually, I don't think you have to wait in line anymore. Because they were making you wait in line to walk through Blackspire because of COVID, and it was crazy. The line was crazy just to walk through the shop. So we didn't, when I was there last, I actually didn't go. It probably saved me some money, to be honest. Yeah. It's great because I didn't do it. I didn't feel like waiting online.
I walked through it.
Anyways, total tangent there. But I will tell you, I had a conscious thought of it, like a moment of excitement because of the shop scene.
Totally.
I was like, 1 week, baby, or well, 4 days now.
You know, so one thing I was thinking too about Echo is he hasn't really spoken to anyone he knows clone-wise that went through Order 66. It's really at this point, what, Rex, you know?
Like, yeah.
He's going to talk to one of his brothers about what happened because he's only at this point talked to Cut, who didn't experience it, and the Bad Batch, who didn't experience it. So
yeah, at what point is that crossover happening in the series where they run into each other again? Mm-hmm.
That's what I was thinking too. That's kind of like the other sentiment there when he's looking at that clone doll is, not only have I lost my humanity by being turned into a machine, but they've all been robbed of their humanity by having their free will taken away. You know, they're robots in a sense.
Yeah, now that he knows so much about the inhibitor chip and there's a lot bundled up into that little moment, Nick.
Yeah.
It's a good call.
And it's maybe a second. Like maybe a second.
That's some of those Star Wars for adults moments.
Yeah.
I mean, there's also the thing with the conversation where Hunter negotiates his price. Mm-hmm. Selling him as a droid.
Yeah.
They're kind of joking, like, I'm worth more than that, but he's also serious, you know?
Yeah. He at first he's like, I'm not doing that. And then he kind of is like accepting, like, oh yeah, but I am kind of a like, I could pull this off. So it's crazy. We'll see how far they go with it, but I really think it's an exploration of the more machine now than man Star Wars trope, you know? Like, they're going to try to see where they can go with, who knows by the end of the season if he's like going to be like plugging into shit and like accessing terminals more, like being a droid, you know?
There's something to that moment where he's like selling him and he's like, yeah, but I'm worth more than that, of being like, I don't know, a group of friends and there's like one nerd and you're like, listen, nerd, go in there and go into the convenience store and steal this, you know?
You're like getting picked on.
Yeah, like, totally. It's like, no, you're totally part of the crew, but you're the little shit, you know?
Yeah. McLovin.
Yeah, exactly.
He's McLovin.
Take off the vest. You look like Aladdin.
Dude, that whole supermarket like scene where he envisions what happens, blood everywhere. Dude, it's so good. Wow.
Mashup.
What a film.
Super Bad Batch.
There you go.
Yes.
There's a shirt.
I'm so proud of that meme I made.
It's so good.
Dude, that's a shirt. Super Bad Batch. And we just do Jonah Hill and Michael Cera's bodies with Bad Batch helmets on them.
Yes.
And it just says Super Bad Batch in the Super Bad logo. Yeah.
Yes.
God, you're f-ing smart.
Boom.
That dude, that's a bestseller.
Dude, hold on. The opening credits, when it's all silhouettes, we could do five silhouettes, four or five silhouettes with the Superbad logo. Like we could do four different variations of this.
Superbad batch. That's a best selling shirt with the Superbad font.
Jot that down.
Look for that at thankthemakermerch.com.
Yeah. We better make it fast because we just gave it away on the show and it's not made yet.
Mike, hit us with that.
Mike, make it now.
All right. Anything else before we move on to a certain point of view?
We could talk about the Empire's actively looking for the Bad Batch at this point.
I was going to say, I think maybe just let's have a quick touch on Fennec chasing to get Omega. Like, where, you know, where's that going? Do we assume that that's coming from? Okay. We have up in the air this question. Is it the Empire that's coming after Omega? Has, you know, hired Fennec as a bounty hunter? I mean, we know that through the nature of what she's doing in the episode. And also Hunter says, you know, she must be a bounty hunter or whatever the line he says towards the end of the episode. But it could also be the Kaminoans, could it not? Hiring her to retrieve Omega?
Yeah.
And we know, obviously, that the Kaminoans have a bit of bounty hunting in their past.
Yeah, and just because there's a bounty out on someone also doesn't mean that they're going to be hurt necessarily.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It could just be straight up, hey, bring back, you know, our runaway child, essentially, as far as what's-her-name is concerned.
I think it's the Kaminoans.
Here's a little detail to why you could be right, Ryan, with this, is she pulls up the holo of Omega, and Omega still has the little, like, Kaminoan headdress thing on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where else would they have gotten that image from?
Right,
you know?
Yeah. Right.
And literally, she's never been anywhere but Kamino.
Yeah, that's a good observation, sir.
I have something cool for the after show of why they might have been talking about somebody else, not Omega, in the last episode, in episode 3.
Mm, cool.
When they're walking down that hallway, they mentioned they need just one sample, right, for a new clone, and we are all assuming it's Omega, but I thought of someone else it could be, which makes total sense. And you're like, oh, yeah, of course.
Wouldn't it be cool if all of you were patrons so that you could hear Nick's super epic theory?
Yeah. Not only hear, but see all of us because it's a video.
Right. That's true.
You guys look good.
There are some deeper threads as well with this bounty hunter conversation that we'll speak on as well. Hint, they're related to other bounty hunters.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on, though.
How about the fact that this episode was the most lighthearted and potentially, I would describe it as like, you know, four kids, completely until it wasn't and there was murders.
Yeah.
Dude, the one officer, the Pantoran officer, Pantoran? What are we?
Pantoran, I think.
Something like that. The blaster bolt goes through the windshield of his speeder bike and just blows his chest open, you know, like.
Fennec, I think, just grabs a citizen, right? On the speeder, throws him off.
Yeah.
The other two cops crash and die.
They did.
It's like really a lighthearted, like, oh, here's my toy. And there's, you know, she's chasing those Vorpak little animals. Like, it really was like a very lighthearted episode. Wrecker was like extra Wreckery. I'm like, oh, yeah, they're going like leaning more kid
style. He's hungry.
Yeah. And then there was just murder for the last third of the episode.
That thing, and we'll talk about this in a certain point of view as well, but that thing is exactly the thing that Lucas and Spielberg have done, where they've always claimed that they're making things for kids, but they're actually making things for people who are exactly the age that they are when they're making it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you want to throw back to the stuff you grew up on as kids. You want, you know, all the swashbuckling pirate stuff. But Indiana Jones is literally killing people also.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
You know, Han Solo's literally shooting people.
There's so much murder in both of these stories.
So
that's the second time on this show in four episodes that a person has gotten straight murdered through a windshield.
I mean, they do
back-to-back episodes, windshield murders.
Yeah, scared driving now. You know, the Disney era definitely is all about, like, how would I say it, implied death a lot of times, you know. So it is shocking to see.
Well, that's why it hasn't been talked about that even in the original trilogy and the original concept behind stormtroopers, like their armor being so that they could get shot and killed, but there's not going to be any blood and guts kind of thing. It was like a way to sort of make them robotic in a way, even though they are people, so it's not quite as triggering. And I think all that stuff does go into extensive research on how it's going to play on your psyche and how you react to it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're faceless.
You can't see their faces, you know, that kind of thing. Like, it's different. Like, and we talked about on Mandalorian finale when Luke comes in, how, you know, it couldn't have been real people that he's like completely annihilating, which is what the battle droid served in the prequels. But I don't think in the original trilogy he knew that he was gonna get as far as he got to have like Jedi slashing through stormtroopers, you know what I mean? Like,
right,
kind of got a little farther than he thought it was gonna go, and then he was like, we can't really have them. I mean, because we didn't see anything like that in the original trilogy. But all that to say, yeah, I'm going to start a side podcast, a true crime podcast called The Bad Batch, The Windshield Murders.
Cold Case Files. Who killed these people?
Star Wars Cold Case, The Windshield Murders.
There's one other thing that I thought was cool that I haven't seen anyone else talk about. So when Hunter is like tracking Omega, when Omega is with Fennec Shand at that point, Hunter sees
Hunter.
The little Anta. Did you guys notice that my name is Neek on our little chat
love
here?
It though.
Neek.
Neek. Eat him.
Ryan.
Here should be E-E-D-U-M. Eat him.
Eat him.
I love it.
We're sorry, everyone from that part of the world. We're so sorry.
Yeah, we're sorry. We're sorry.
It's adorable. I love it.
Yeah, we're not making fun.
It's great.
We're enjoying.
I wish that I sounded like that.
We're fans.
So when Hunter is tracking Omega and she and Hunter sees that stormtrooper like on the floor there, there's this real like tight shot on the clone trooper toy, but above and below is blurred out, almost like a tilt shift kind of thing. And I don't remember seeing that kind of shot at all in the first three episodes. So I'm wondering if that was almost like an instance where you see what Hunter sees, where like he,
right.
His mutation of tracking was like super focused on just the,
yeah.
What he was looking for, which was either, I guess, Omega or this clone trooper toy.
Yeah. Point of view representation of
his
senses.
It was super quick, but I noticed right away. I'm like, why was that like blurry except for the stormtrooper? And that might have been like almost like video game style, like point of view.
I was just going to say, it's like The Last of Us 2 or The Last of Us, if you hold down R1, you like can listen through the walls and you see where the zombies are, like that's through the cool. walls. It's like that kind of vibe.
So he sees things.
A certain point of view.
Many of the things we cling to depend greatly on our own point of view.
Segway master.
The absolute master.
I do my best.
Segway Jedi.
Not too many, as usual, but there has been mention of, in some other reviews and things, people talking about, like we mentioned earlier, this being a side quest, and some people not being stoked on it. I'm assuming because the stakes are like, the bar is so high now after the last few, you know, the entire season 7 of The Clone Wars was so cinematic. It was 3 solid arcs. I think some people are kind of expecting it all to be like that from now on, but we're getting some side quests and I don't know.
I don't think this falls under like the monster of the week side quest type thing. Like I think that what they were doing on the planet was a bit side questy, but the overarching plot line of the episode that includes Fennec Shand coming after Omega is extremely important to the overall, not just a small arc, but it's going to play, I think, into the arc overall of the entire season. So
agreed.
I don't buy that. I think that there was the first half of the episode had that kind of like, I don't know, sort of like this doesn't matter, you know, but it's fun for kids. Like we talked about watching Omega and the animals and the shopping and all the stuff that was cool, just kid Star Wars stuff. But yeah, I think that was quickly gone for me because it was like, oh, okay, here we go. Omega's getting hunted. That's huge.
Yeah, I think to me, the way I look at it, if anyone's having an issue with like, nothing happened in this one, not every episode could be Luke and the Mandalorian. Not every episode could be the last 4 episodes of The Clone Wars. And I bring everything back to sports that I don't really watch, but they're just loading the bases right now. And eventually we're going to get like the Grand Slam, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
It's like, okay, there was a side quest, but you know what was really exciting? We got Fennec Shand. Cool. Yeah. Now we get to talk about that, which is kind of what they did in Mandalorian. So yeah, I got no problem with it. It's not like it was like 2 hours long and nothing happened. It's literally like 25 minutes long and what happened happened. Done. Cool.
Yeah, dude. It was great. It was quick. I mean, these episodes are short.
Yeah.
So if we're not seeing it in like a 3-episode arc, it's going to be like that. Mm-hmm. We're going to get something really important, but it's going to be brief. We're going to have some crap that goes on around it. Roll the credits.
Yeah.
And I'm cool with that.
Do you think, okay, speaking of arcs, I don't remember, were Clone Wars arcs 3 or 4 episodes?
3 to 4 on average, right?
Yeah, because this is 4 right now, and it kind of ended on, not a cliffhanger per se, but Fennec Shand looking into the stars, you know, that might be a spot to end this arc. But I'm going to contradict myself and go against my own thoughts right now. There's nowhere else for him to go. The Clone Wars had so many characters and so many storylines that you could go on arcs, like, what would the Bad Batch do right now if they weren't like harboring Omega, you know? Like, what other story could they tell? So I'm kind of leaning towards this just being like serialized.
I agree. Yeah. I don't think these are going to be small arcs. Yeah. I don't think anything has lent itself to that. We didn't see Crosshair in this one because, mm-hmm. you know, he's off doing whatever he's doing, but he'll be back right in the next episode with his next thing. Like, it's not those little three episode adventures. I don't think yeah. at all. Mm-hmm. I think it's one long story of who Omega is.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the more what I'm leaning into is like, she's obviously something special and they're going somewhere with that.
Mm-hmm. Next one, going back to what Ryan and Heather were saying last week about Wrecker being kind of just a one note character. He definitely does it again on this
yeah,
one.
Yeah, for sure.
Agreed on this point. That's why I said, you're hungry. We get it. Yeah. But it's good for kids. It's good that's for kids.
That's the thing. It's the injection of something that's kid-friendly amidst all the murder.
Yeah, it is. I get it. I don't have to like it, but I get it.
So that's all I wanted to add.
You know what I didn't dig about him in this episode? You know, the one-noteness is whatever, for sure, there. He's supposed to be this big, bad bruiser, and Fennec Shand took 1 second to, like, knock him out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that kind of sucks.
Well, she pulled some like judo, aikido stuff on him and just redirected totally. All his energy and he knocked himself out essentially.
Which I'm just like, you know, like if he's some big bad bruiser, like I would expect him to, I don't know that, like know that could yeah. be a thing and to like be able to like not be susceptible to it. So that kind of was like a little.
He's also one of a team though, and they seem to be at their best when they're all working together. Yeah. So maybe he's like, oh, I'm gonna go beat her up. And he underestimated her. And that also establishes how badass she is for anyone who doesn't know her from The Mandalorian, whoever those people are.
Mm-hmm. Whoever those freaks are.
Lastly, speaking of Fennec Shand, from a certain point of view, it's weird to me, the age imbalance referencing The Mandalorian between her and Boba Fett. Mm-hmm. Granted, Ming-Na Wen doesn't seem to age, period.
No, I mean, she's in real life, Ming-Na Wen is 57.
No way.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Good genes.
She's a vampire? And Temuera Morrison, he doesn't look like crap, but he doesn't look young.
No.
You know, so it's weird because Boba Fett is an unaltered clone. So at this point in time, he's 13 years old. Mm-hmm. So how old is Fennec in this? She's supposed to be like also a teenager? Is she like 16 years old?
I mean, I could see her, if we're going to base it off of like Ming-Na Wen's actual age, she could be in her 20s right now and then just tack on like 30 years to be current with The Mandalorian.
And are we taking liberty with the whole, like, he's unaltered, but haven't we talked about before that there's still some of that genetic code in there that causes his aging to, didn't we like?
Well, I think what we talked about is
self-retcon some of that in Mandalorian to justify things.
I think we focused more on him being in a Sarlacc belly,
right,
contributing to him looking like crap.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, I mean, I would assume she's in like no older than like early 20s at this point.
Yeah.
And when they introduced her in Mandalorian, they said she was an Imperial sharpshooter, right? Something like that.
Yeah.
So she's not Imperial at this point, which makes sense because, again, I think the Empire's like not even a month old probably, so.
It's weird though. She's wearing the exact same outfit.
Yeah. Totally.
Huh.
As people do in Star Wars.
I don't know. We'll see.
For 30 years.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see. I'm sure we're going to get more about her path and her story. Point being, she's young. She has to be young for it to make any sense with the way they look side by side in The Mandalorian. I think it would be cool if she's even younger. If she's like 16, 17, 18 years old, that would be tight.
Think about Luke, Leia, Rey. They're all late teens.
There it is. We'll just land on that. She's 19, just like every other young character we meet.
Speculation, little teaser. Like, why wouldn't she be involved with Boba already, though? You know?
I'm saying.
After show.
Patreon.com/thankthemakerpod. All right, let's move on.
For over 1,000 generations.
It is the Darksaber. Torgosh.
It's a Kalikori.
A Sith Wayfinder.
Dark science. Cloning. Secrets only the Sith knew.
Welcome. We got a handful in the den. First one we notice right off the bat, pretty much, the docking bay manager is Sulistan. Is that how you say that?
Yep.
That's same species as Nyan Num from Return of the Jedi.
And oddly enough, The Last Jedi and Rise of Skywalker, right?
Yeah.
Definitely one of the last Resistance members on the Millennium Falcon in The Last Jedi. I'm like, how did he make it?
This one happens to speak the common tongue, though,
yeah,
as they say in Westeros.
The trader, I guess, of Bobby Moynihan's character, the trader in the market is a Gran, which is the same species as Reese, who you would recognize from Jabba's Palace. He worked for Jabba. You'd really recognize him as like a Kenner action figure.
Oh, word.
And one of the drivers during the chase scene, you know that one like kind of comedic break where they're fighting in the speeder chase and then it just goes to like the cockpit of someone listening to music.
Yes.
Kinda. Yeah.
So that's an Aqualish.
He's just vibing out.
Yeah, yeah. That's an Aqualish, like Ponda Baba from A New Hope. And the one kind of Easter egg within the Easter egg is that he's wearing exactly what Ponda Baba's Kenner figure wore, just like an orange kind of, it always felt like to me, it was like an orange vest with like blue arms almost.
Yeah.
So that was exactly that. That shot was incredible though, as far as animation goes.
Yeah.
It looked so good.
I already, like, right away the next morning, somebody posted, like, just a zoomed-in shot of that with the caption, current mood.
Nice. Hey, that could be Ponda Baba. Why not?
Could be.
This is before A New Hope.
Yeah, it could just be him vibing out.
Not changing his outfit for the next 20 years either.
Dude, they don't change. They don't really eat. They don't poop. They don't sleep.
There's only one toilet we know of, and that got blown up.
Yeah.
They're just always in action wearing the same clothes.
I had the most random thought when Omega was like running through the marketplace. I think at this point she was separated from Fennec. She was running through the marketplace and she was hiding behind a crate. And there was just like a guy walking in the middle of the marketplace. I was like, why is that so weird? It's like, he's just a guy walking. When's the last time you saw someone walking without like looking at their phone or...
Oh,
he
yeah.
didn't have a backpack on. Like, what is yeah. a person's purpose just walking? You know? It's yeah. Like, I was like, why does that look weird? I'm like, yeah, because no one just walks like... I'm like, yeah. You'd definitely be looking at your phone.
That's Star Wars tech. Yeah. We talked about that. It's tech for functionality, not yeah. for entertainment. So totally. They don't have phones.
Yeah, exactly.
Just a comm link. That's all you get.
Moving on. Tech mentions that the signature key is below the rear parallax inverters.
Mm. Yeah, parallax is, I don't think it's ever been said in Star Wars, but we know from doing our research that parallax is the, you know, the effect that they use in the volume while they're filming Mandalorian and now Obi-Wan, where like the background changes depending on what angle the camera is, you know, being focused at, so.
Now in 23 years, have I ever said no to you?
Hold on.
Why say no?
This is just what I thought of when we talk about the parallax inverters are beneath the...
Specs on the end line for the rotary girder.
Yeah. Rotary girder.
It's like a Buck Swope in Boogie Nights, and he's like, kicks it up a couple more quads per channel, but that's technical talk. Yeah. That doesn't really concern me.
Totally.
I was checking the specs on the inline for the rotary girder.
It's weird, though, because all parallax is, that literally just means the way a foreground and a background shift mm-hmm. relative to each other as you move.
Yeah.
So what, inverting the a ship?
It sounds cool.
Inverts the
yeah,
what?
I think that's they it. Probably were just like,
it just sounds cool.
Here's a word. Here's a Star Wars word.
That's really funny. Okay. We mentioned the clone trooper toy that Omega finds in the market. Similar vibes to the toy that Jyn Erso had at the beginning of Rogue One, and also the toys you can find in the Toydarian Toy Makers at Galaxy's Edge.
Jyn's is like a straight up stormtrooper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
got like black joints between the mm-hmm. legs and arms and stuff.
We mentioned earlier also the Pantorans as people being heavily featured in the Clone Wars, and George Lucas playing he was the Prime Minister, and Katie Lucas, his daughter, I guess played his daughter in the movie as well. Both those characters are also in the Clone Wars. So we spent a lot of time here. Mm-hmm. What's this next one? Nick, you want to do this next one?
On the speeder that Omega is chasing, those animals are called Vorpax, and they were in Resistance. And the other tie-in to Resistance was there was that little thick boy droid.
T-H-I-C-C.
His name was Clink. Yeah, yeah.
B-O-I?
B-O-I, for sure. his name was Clink in this episode. And like I said, in Resistance, there was a similar droid. I can't remember the exact name, but I think it was L-E. And then some numbers like LE-37 or something like that. So that style droid has been introduced recently.
There's a lot of stuff in this episode, actually, that calls back to other movies and other series and things. The security cameras
yeah.
in this city are the same style as the ones in A New Hope, kind of like that four-eye, looks like a cowbell with like lenses on the end of it, sort of.
I noticed it right away. I felt so stupid and nerdy. I was like, oh, same cameras. I'm like, who notices the camera?
I did.
Immediately.
Immediately.
The speeder chase, like Ryan mentioned, has really similar sounds to the speeders in Return of the Jedi, also the ones in Attack of the Clones. There's like a specific kind of like howling noise.
Yeah.
And like a chug, 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 chug kind of thing. That's very prequel. I feel like they just have that sound bank of all the established sounds and they just have so much fun mashing all that stuff up.
I mean, you don't need new sounds, you know, like for the last 20, 30 years, like car engines don't sound that different, you know?
There's a siren too. I don't know, it's a police or an ambulance or something siren. That's for sure an Attack of the Clones that they use.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just fun stuff. It's makes it all so immersive to me, at least. I was just like on the edge of my seat, like, oh, this is fun. This is fun. Lastly.
All right, I'm going to drop a bombshell. You ready? When Omega first meets those Vorpax, she says, hello there. Omega's a Kenobi. Boom. Confirmed.
She does say hello there.
Yeah.
Hello there.
Confirm it. Thank the maker. Scoop. Show's over.
Not really, but that'd be cool.
Raise a Palpatine. I said it.
Yeah.
Nick, you're just calling this one.
All right, let's move on.
I love you.
I know.
Favorite scenes, favorite quotes. Mine, I know right off the top of my head, but you guys go first.
Definitely the speeder chase for me. I mean, it was just, as you said, Adam, earlier, it was just classic Star Wars Indiana Jones adventure chase with a little murder thrown in.
A little murder for the kids.
Yeah, sprinkle some murder.
And then, and in an episode where I was kind of like, you know, watching it going, okay, the first half, as I said, was sort of like one note wrecker and cute stuff with Omega. Some cool stuff with the droid echo stuff. Like it was like, and then it just leveled up. So the energy shift of the whole episode with the chase was also really rad.
For two reasons, I like the whole Hunter, Echo, Omega, like in the market scene where Hunter negotiates like Echo's price and stuff. And it's all stuff we talked about already. Like I like the kind of duality of Echo reminiscing about the clone troopers and being more human, and now he's a little bit more machine. Plus, like Ryan, you said, like it just looks like a shop in Batu. So I enjoyed living in that moment.
Those are my two favorites for sure. But my number one, I'm going to go with Ryan. It's the speeder chase. I remember having that thought of, damn, this is Star Wars. Mm. Pretty much immediately, I knew that. So that's my favorite.
Omega not tucking and rolling. I'm changing my answer. That's the best part.
What about quotes? Favorite quotes?
I'm going to reference the quotes that we put up for the poll when Omega says, but the war is over. Isn't that good? And Echo replies, depends which side you're on.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, if I had to pick a favorite, I'd have to use the list that you guys so kindly made for me to cheat.
You can thank Nick for that.
And then choose that one. Thanks, Nick.
Speaking of Nick, I'm Nick. And not really my favorite quote, but I kind of am liking Tech's like quick retorts where he's like cocky about being nerdy.
Yeah.
So like at the beginning of the show, the whole like comm chatter has our ship signature on a wanted list and Tech's just like, so we scramble it. And Wrecker's like, you could do that? He's like, of course I could do that. Yeah. Kind of like a confident nerd.
He's like the Sheldon Cooper of Star Wars.
Of course I could do it, idiot.
My favorite is, I'm going with Ryan again. I guess we're mad at you, Nick. I'm just ganging up on you basically.
It's fine.
From Omega asking Echo, but the war's over, you know, that's good. I love that depends on which side you're on sentiment carrying over here, and especially from this group who, yeah, they were on the Republic side, but they've always been outcasts, so it fits in perfectly, and I think it continues the lessons taught by the Clone Wars. Mm-hmm. See what the patrons thought. As always, we polled the patrons for favorite scenes and favorite quotes. Five nominees for each. First nominee for favorite scenes, Tech and Wrecker learning how to bribe the docking bay manager. That was kind of, clearly they know what credits are, but it was like a fish out of water thing that I thought was fun.
Yeah.
You know?
Hopefully there's more like kind of comedic moments of them learning how to adjust, you know? Because it was kind of like, is this enough? Yeah. Oh, you want more? Okay, here you go.
It reminded me of in Star Trek IV when they first have to, you know, they have to get money. So Kirk sells his glasses.
Totally.
And there's, I forgot what it is, but basically one of them, like, you know, the person from the 80s tells them an amount and they go, is that a lot?
Yeah.
How much? Well, they'd be worth more if the lenses were intact. I'll give you $100.
Is that a lot?
Is that the same one where, like, I think it's the same movie where Kirk's like almost gets hit by a taxi and the taxi.
Double dumbass on you.
Yeah, double dumbass on you. That's so good.
Yeah. And then Spock later is talking about Thank the Maker, Star Trek podcast.
Yeah, you lost me.
Later, Spock's like,
the use of language has altered since our arrival. It is currently laced with, shall I say, more colorful metaphors. Double dumbass on you and so forth.
You mean the profanity?
Yes.
That's simply the way they talk here.
Yeah. There's one other good thing too, where Scotty like is on the computer and he like tries to talk to the computer by picking up the mouse and he's like speaks into it.
Hello, computer.
That's a good movie.
Nominee number two, the citizens on Pandora cheering on the Imperial clones, the celebration, the post-war party. Third nominee, Hunter negotiating with the shopkeep, trading Echo for credits. I would include the conversation, of course, between Hunter and Echo as part of that, right? Not just the conversation between Hunter and the shopkeep. Mm-hmm. Fourth nominee, Fennec Shand befriending Omega, stealing food for her, teaching her bad lessons. The fifth and final nominee, the speeder chase through Pandora, rescuing Omega. The winner, well, it's a tie.
Rare. I feel like we never get ties.
A rare tie. 41% for each of these. Hunter negotiating with the shopkeep, trading Echo for credits, and the speeder chase through Pandora. That lines up right with us.
Yeah, actually, it's me and the patrons versus you two.
I'm about to fight. Favorite quotes. The nominees are, first, the one that Nick mentioned earlier, starting with Echo.
Comchatter has our ship's signature on a wanted list.
So we scramble it.
Well, you can do that?
Of course I can do it.
Second nominee, Wrecker says.
We're getting the hang of this civilian thing.
Third nominee, the one that Ryan and I picked. Omega says to Echo,
but the war is over. Isn't that good?
And Echo responds,
depends which side you're on.
Fourth nominee, Hunter and Echo squabbling during the negotiation with the shopkeep.
Once we get the supplies, I'll give you the signal and you can leave.
Fine, but not at that price. I am worth more than 2,000.
And the fifth and final nominee, Omega and Fennec Shand. Omega says,
but we didn't pay for these.
It's okay to break the rules sometimes.
And the winner with 51% of the vote, another one of our picks, like we said earlier, Omega asking about the end of the war and Echo enlightening her that it's all about your certain point of view. Depends on which side you're on. Second place is Echo demanding that he's worth more than 2,000 credits. Good picks.
Yeah, I mean, really, between the scenes and the quotes, I mean, that's 90% of the episode right there.
It's a fun 25 minutes or whatever it was.
Yeah. It really goes back to who knows what journey we're on, which is cool. It's fun to speculate. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's like light in the way of like, it's just not, I watched it and I didn't even think about it for 24 hours. I was like, oh yeah, I should watch that again. I got to write notes, you know? It's like, cool. I watched Star Wars and then I moved on with my life.
I think that they will drop some knowledge at the end.
Sure.
I think they'll, you know, whatever the final couple episodes will probably be the kind that you have to sit back after and take it in.
Yeah.
Like, whoa, what just happened? You know, but this happened in Clone Wars too. I haven't watched Rebels or Resistance, but you know, a lot of the early parts of the seasons sometimes were fun and cool. Mm-hmm. And then it wasn't until the final arc or the final episode even of a season that was like, whoa.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's the same guys making the show. So I assume they're going to do a similar thing here. But we've already gotten some of that, man. Like the Crosshair Death Squad thing, that was really intense for the third episode of this show.
Yeah, we'll get more of that. I feel like if this is just the beginning of the Empire is going to get darker to the point where they're like, you know what we need? A giant space station that literally blows up planets.
Yeah.
You know, like they're not quite there yet, but they're going to get more evil.
Well, I'm stoked on it and I'm stoked to cover it every week with you guys. And I like Star Wars.
So do I.
Oh, wait. On last week's episode, when I was listening to it, I think you guys mentioned the Kiner family doing the score and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Did they mention that it was like the season was divided by two, kind of?
Yeah, two-part soundtrack.
Like 1 through 8, 9 through 16?
Yeah.
Like, what's that about? Why did they point out that there was a division in the soundtrack?
I mean, they've done, I've seen like two-part soundtracks a lot, mm-hmm. you know, because they want to release a soundtrack before the whole season's over. Like they want to get those plays, mm-hmm. you know, they want to get those sales, but they don't want to spoil anything. So when they reach the halfway point, they drop the first half,
okay,
and then they drop the second half, and then maybe there's like a double,
yeah.
whatever.
I don't know. I was probably reading into it too much that there was like a shift in the sound or tone of it or something like that.
I would guess it's just like a marketing thing.
Okay.
Like get the product out there when they can.
I'll stop worrying about it then.
Chill out, dude. speaking of getting on board with things, I will remind everyone listening that now actually more than half of the listeners week to week are not subscribed to the podcast. It's messed up.
I feel like this plagues many pods.
So help us beat the plague. Press the subscribe button wherever you listen. Do it right now. Hold on, everybody. Do it right now. Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks. Thanks
thank
for pressing.
Thank you.
I mean, instead of typing our name into the search bar every week, don't you just want to like be subscribed? Come on.
Yeah, it'll just populate your feed. Press just play as soon as you open the app.
Yeah, it's all about efficiency. We don't have time to type.
No. Thursday morning, you open the podcast app. There it is. You press play. You enjoy it. Next morning, you watch a new episode. Life's grand.
How about you stop being so selfish and do us a favor and subscribe? It's not all about you and your love for typing.
You're just wasting time, really.
I like your podcast, but I really love to type also.
Think about the amount of time you'd get back in your life not typing T-H-A-N and then you find it every week.
It's yeah. a lot of time.
Add that up for the next 20 years that we're doing this podcast or more. That's a lot of time.
Shaving minutes off your life, dog.
Also, how about if you just subscribe, we won't have to talk about it.
I like that. That makes the most sense. It's a strong argument. All right, Ryan Key, wrap it up for us with a quote of the week.
Yeah, I got a cool one that I think plays into what we've been talking about a little bit. Episodic arcs versus sort of a serialized thing. So a very important piece of all of these puzzles we're putting together these days. Quote, once you buy into a television show, there doesn't have to be a resolution from week to week. You can develop characters and storylines and react to the audience. So you get more of a serialized version of storytelling where you can go much deeper into each character. It's more like a novel. The great Jon Favreau, everybody.
Haha.
He's good.
Pretty insightful.
Probably why, starting with The Mandalorian, we had chapters, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Books.
And then with Clone Wars, they didn't have titles, right? They just had those cookies?
They did. I don't know if they put the titles on screen, but...
Yeah, so this one is more titles again in Bad Batch.
Yeah. If you listeners are looking for the podcast on social media, you can find us on Instagram at ThankTheMakerPod, on Twitter at ThankTheMaker. If you want to check out our sister podcast, one of the two, the dyad in the Thank the Maker podcast force, and the Thank the Maker network, Armor Party podcast, you can find on Instagram at Armor Party Show. If you're into cosplay, costuming.
And good hangs.
That's dope. Our friend Mike from Hondo Supply runs that, and it's awesome.
If it makes you happy to hear people talk about Star Wars and be happy, you will enjoy that podcast.
All my stuff is at Adam the Skull. And Nick?
I'm at Nick Bayside on Instagram and Twitter.
Mine's nice and easy across all the social meds, as Nick calls them, at William Ryan Key.
And of course, if you want merch, it's thankthemakermerch.com. Also easy. That Ewok shirt is crushing. It's selling. People love it. You can be one of those people. Thankthemakermerch.com. Dudes, good hang. Everybody, thanks for listening. And until next week, may the force be with you.